Hello and welcome to the APR podcast. I'm JP Arnold, your APR chair for the Pikes Peak chapter here in beautiful Colorado Springs. And the purpose of this podcast is to help you earn your APR, the accreditation in public relations. And I want to remind you to visit two websites, the praccreditation.org and prsacoloradosprings.org/APR, and also consider the APR Prep online study course with Michael Henry. It's fantastic. I'm a facilitator, highly recommend it. Also, this is my son, Isaiah. He's 10, and new to him, Yamaha DTX 522K drum set. It's digital. He's jamming out to the R&B funk sound. Thank you so much, Isaiah. Really appreciate it. Also had my dog, Marley, in here. He's coming in at the evening time when I record the podcast. Really thank you to Isaiah and Marley Dog. So we're going to look at military transition from military public affairs to communications, marketing, PR in the civilian sector, as we call it. And what does that look like? I'm going to share a little bit about my story, and you can also visit my blog. It's on the Pikes Peak PRSA chapter's website, and the PRSA national website, Transition, also has several other blogs and stories as well, too, so check that out. And I want to make sure that you also understand, number one, PRSA is invested in your transition. You get 1 year free membership as you transition from the military into the civilian world to help you with that process and get you to the correct resources and the correct networking and the correct people. So let's look at a couple of things. Number one, the military, and I'm going to really speak about the Army, but this can apply to the Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard as well, too. But the Army, that was my background. I retired as a major in public affairs and served about 10 years. My undergrad and grad degree are in mass communications and worked several jobs. And you can see that in my journey and my blog. But the Army has what's called, it used to be called ACAP. It's now called TAP, and that's the Transition Assistant Program. And also it's in conjunction with the Soldier for Life, which there actually is a podcast with Lieutenant Colonel Olivia Nunn. She is a public affairs officer. You want to check that out. So TAP will assist you with very important but very general resources. You'll learn about networking and how to put together a resume and what to expect. People will come in and kind of share their journey. HR folks will kind of share what you need to do and when. You'll be introduced to online resources and interview tips, etc. But for military PAOs, and listen very closely, for military PAOs, there is nothing that will substitute being a member of the Public Relations Society of America, PRSA. That's what you need to do. It's a free one-year membership as you transition. You're going to interface with the right people, hiring managers. You're going to learn what you need to exactly put into your resume. You're going to be able to attend luncheons, workshops, and really connect with those in our industry day one. And I learned a lot from the TAP or ACAP process, but it's really going for a more general logistics, maintenance, personnel. They're looking for large non-public affairs. You know, when you look at legal, you look at chaplains, you look at doctors, public affairs, those are very niche MOSs in the military. So you need to make sure you align yourself with the correct organization as you transition. And for public affairs officers, that is PRSA. And again, you get a one-year free membership. Sign up. Fred Wellman, he's a colleague of mine. He has a very successful scout comms. In fact, he just recently had to come to an end with scout comms, but he did that for many, many years, and he donates to help transitioning public affairs officers to become PRSA members. I think you also need to look at your academic as well as your training and your experience. So for me, I was able to get an undergrad and grad in mass communication. And then I said, well, I want to add to that. What should I do? I thought maybe I should look at a certificate program, and it was in University of Washington. I came from the Seattle area, Joint Base Lewis-McChord or Fort Lewis. I worked at First Corps or I Corps on their public affairs team. Was my last military job. But you really want to look at what do you have right now from an academic standpoint, from a training standpoint. Obviously, for military, you all go to the Defense Information School, DINFOS, at Fort Meade, Maryland. You get incredible experiences. But is that going to be enough to kind of help you? And for me, I thought I need to brush up on my civilian public affairs understanding. And for me, that was the APR, the Accreditation in Public Relations. So again, PRSA is going to give you 1 year free membership. Look at the APR to kind of help you with the civilian understanding of public relations. Get involved in the PRSA board day one. Just do it. Say, where can I serve? And they'll be like, you want to serve? Absolutely. Right over here. And that was afforded to me. I became the vice president and program chair in 2015. I left the military early December 2014 and immediately became the program chair and vice president for the Pikes Peak chapter in 2015. Changed my world and was so helpful, so beneficial. I am eternally indebted to PRSA, the Pikes Peak chapter, my friends and colleagues here in Colorado Springs and the Denver area for my transition. I've been out for about 5 years now, and it's been incredible. PRSA was everything to my current understanding of civilian PR, having my jobs and training, everything. So you can go through the ACAP or TAP program, but it's going to be very general. If you have a headhunter, they're going to be very generalized. They're going to want you to move to Dallas or Atlanta, Chicago, those big cities where they have jobs to fill, Amazon-type jobs. But if you're in public affairs, there's no better place than PRSA. And no one's paying me to say that. It's just a fact. It is very crucial to your transition, and I highly recommend it. So there's some challenges. Military public affairs officers, we do very little research compared to our civilian counterparts. We don't operate in the same budget guidelines. And we do very little evaluation. In the RPIE four-step planning process is research, planning, implementing, evaluating programs. Research, evaluation, we don't really do it that much. I told someone the research was my commander or my boss said, do it. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Salute, move out. To do a survey in the military takes a lot of paperwork, a lot of approval at several different levels in the military to do a simple survey. If you work at a nonprofit, you go onto SurveyMonkey, you go onto Google Survey, fill out your questions, make sure they make sense, share it with someone else, send it out. That's not the case in the government, and for several different reasons. So we do not really have a great understanding of research as compared to those that are in the civilian sector. We don't do primary research. We may do some content analysis, some news analysis, but it's not the same as primary research where you're having a focus group, you're having a survey where you are formulating the questions and going through that data yourself. And certainly our budget is not quite the same either. You know, we don't have, hey, you have $5,000 to do, place some ads in the newspaper or do a commercial or depending, sometimes you can put some money towards Facebook and increase your reach, but that depends on what organization you're with in the military. But we're not looking at a budget to where I'm going to go and get some swag, brand it. I'm going to bring in a consultant. That just doesn't happen. Now, there is one caveat in the military. I worked at a Sessions Command, a 3-star general command. It was at Fort Knox, Kentucky. We had Cadet Command, USAREC, U.S. Army Recruiting, for those coming out of high school or having their GED and wanting to go in as enlisted. Cadet Command was ROTC. And we were able to do focus groups. We were able to do research, primary research. We were able to use funds, obviously, to place ads. I was with the team. We had national advertisements on TV and print. We sponsored NASCAR. We sponsored the funny car races. And we were able to go to major cities throughout the United States and put together events to kind of create that excitement about joining the military and understanding. I went to FFA, Future Farmers of America National Conference in Indianapolis. Went to the Boy Scouts Jamboree, the National Jamboree, and had other friends and colleagues go all over the United States. So in that aspect, we did have money. It was a tremendous amount of money to pay for ads, to pay for placement, to pay for a lot of different things. But that's not the case for 99.9% of PAOs in the military. And again, I'm going to really talk about my Army experience. So the experience that really translates well is social media, website administration, media relations, crisis management, PR planning. But now remember, for military and especially for the Army, we look at the operations order, the 5-step operation order. We also look at MDMP, military decision making process, where we have courses of action and recommend to the boss, what do you want to do based on this information? And we're a small part of those different operations orders and MDMP process. When you look at the RPIE planning process, it is significant compared to those. As far as the input and output and the research, the planning, the implementation, and the evaluation, it's quite significant. I'd recommend that you Google chapter award winners, and you can look at as well national award winners and look at those programs, those campaigns that won awards, and call up and say, tell me about what you did for planning the RPIE process. Also know that very few civilians can relate to our experiences. My first interview was live, and it was with the BBC. I'm going to repeat that because it's kind of crazy to say. My very first interview as an official Army spokesperson was live. It was with the BBC. So almost 300 million in reach. Did the different BBC radio interviews as well too that day. I worked with New York Times. Worked with Weber Shandwick, McCann Erickson, McCann World Group, Momentum Events out of Chicago. Traveled around the world, Australia and Japan, Iraq, Afghanistan. The experiences that we have are kind of challenging to understand. But you know what? They will get you in the door. They will get you an interview. And they could get you the job. But once you get the job, your boss is not going to care about what you did in Iraq or Afghanistan. What you did for this or that, working with the different general officers at different levels. Your boss is going to be concerned, what can you do for my business today, tomorrow, and the next day? So make sure you understand that experience is incredible, and it's very limited as part of the people that understand that. But once you get the job, your boss is not going to care. Your colleagues may find it intriguing, but it's all about what can you do for the company, the nonprofit, the for-profit, the local government, city council, whatever that you're working. That's your focus, that's your mission, and that's your proof that you are providing effective public relations for that company, for that organization. Anything you did that was super amazing and interesting in the past in the military, it's interesting, but what are you doing for your company today, your new company that's paying your salary? And I just want to say, make sure you get involved. Make sure you become accredited. When you become accredited, you're understanding the civilian public relations terminology, how to do things as a civilian PR professional. The Army sort of does the same thing when you go to your basic course, your advanced course as a captain. I think they call it something different now. When all the majors go to Command and General Staff College, you're going there, you're learning the new planning process, MDMP, the military decision-making process, operations orders. This is the meaning for this term. So then you show up and you can get to work right away. And everyone is on a common sheet of music, if you would. Well, that's what the APR does for you. It says, I know these KSAs, the knowledge, skills, and abilities. And let's go through those. Research, planning, implementing, and evaluating programs. Leading the public relations function. Managing relationships. Applying ethics and law. Managing issues and crisis communications. Understanding communication models, theories, and the history of our profession. The six KSAs that you will be tested in when you take the APR exam. 3 hours and 45 minutes. There's the questionnaire, which you can download, fill out today, get a mentor, talk to your APR chair at the PRSA chapter. There is the panel presentation where you kind of defend your thesis, if you would, with a 3 APR panel. And then there's the exam. So there's 3 major aspects of this journey. Questionnaire, 15 to 20 pages. The panel presentation, 1 to 2 hours in front of 3 APRs, where you talk about your journey, you talk about your project using RPIE planning process, and then the exam. So I think you should be encouraged as a transitioning public affairs officer, whether you have 4 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. But understand that you may not have the same scope of work and responsibilities. Your job title might not quite look the same. But do understand this. Your experience will make a difference. Your initiative, your leadership, your intuition will make a difference. But you need to understand civilian public affairs practices. And the APR will help you in that journey. Well, for all those military PAOs that are transitioning, a salute to you, and we really sincerely thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice and your family sacrifice. All the best to you. Please look me up on LinkedIn. Take care and have a wonderful day.